and a sports wagering bill hit the Senate floor today. Jim Perry from Lenoir is a state senator, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Sir, first of all, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. This has been a long process, and I know you have been in favor of legalized sports wagering in the state. What do you think has been the biggest obstacle to getting a bill passed?
Well, that's a great question. You know, obviously there is already some competition out there, whether it be legal at one of the Indian gaming operations, the tribal locations, or whether it be illegal.
Right.
And, you know, those arms are long, especially with some involved with illegal gaming. I will say I've gotten a lot of questions about whether or not the tribal organizations have been difficult to deal with. And I will say no. You know, we've been working on this for a few years. The Catawba were not really involved on the front end, but the Eastern Band of the Cherokee were, because they were already established, and they've actually been very reasonable in the conversations. I think some ideas just take time to, you know, sort of take root and become more accepted. I think as people understood that I can walk into their office with my phone or my laptop and open an account in 5 minutes and place bets, that really shocked some of them. And frankly, we had a lot of conversations over the last year just about the concept of freedom and free will. And this is your money. And if you see it as entertainment, it's going on already. Why wouldn't the state regulate it, make it available, and help our sports teams here that are at a huge competitive disadvantage regarding salary cap issues if they don't have the same opportunities other states do?
I was just curious if Tom Dundon or David Tepper have been blowing up phones at the state legislature, because this would be a major, major boon to their bottom line. Because I know for a fact, I speak to Tom Dundon often, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, they have plans all ready to go to put a spot inside PNC Arena where you can place wagers on games. Jim Perry, state senator from Lenoir, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Would you consider this, or the fact that we had to wait an additional year, a bipartisan failure?
Well, you know, I personally think that it should have passed last year. Still trying to figure out what exactly happened with that. It's the General Assembly, so politics do come into play, and there's always some X factors you're not aware of. I think there was a lot of misinformation and emotion. You know, there was an argument made on the floor about a point shaving scandal,
right?
And that was just absurd. If anything, that should lobby to have legal sports betting. You know, that's how you find out when there's wrongdoing, when you see those statistical anomalies, and sophisticated organizations can certainly catch that. But, you know, whether or not someone places a bet in Roanoke Rapids or just over the line in Virginia on a North Carolina sports team is irrelevant. You know, there's bets on those teams every day in North Carolina, outside of North Carolina. And I just feel like it's sticking your head in the sand and being caught in a bit of a time warp. Yeah, I'm not a sports bettor. I don't have that skill set. But, you know, I earned my money. And I think if I so choose to place a bet on sports, then, you know, I should be allowed to do that. Why should my neighbor get – God gave me free will. We've been spending 3 years talking about freedom in this state and how we're rebelling against so much government regulation. And we're talking about free will, but the first opportunity we have to take it from our neighbor, you know, we seem to be all too eager to do that.
Jim Perry is the state senator from Lenoir, North Carolina, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. The bill hit the Senate floor today. How long will this process take before it's actually voted upon? And then I have a follow-up to that.
So, House Bill 347, so my dear friend in the House, Representative Jason Sane, Chairman Sane, is actually running the bill. You know, I ran the bill last session, got it through the Senate. got held up in the House. So, you know, the decision was made that Representative Sane really needed to take a run at it, see if he could get it through the House. He feels like he's got support this time. And, you know, they've really taken a lot of time on the front end. Folks like Don Waddell has spent a lot of time on it. You mentioned the Hurricanes. You know, Fred Whitfield with the Hornets has spent a lot of time here. He and James Jordan will be back this week. They really trying to help people understand the competitive disadvantage you put your teams in whenever, you know, if another team has a revenue source and it drives up the salary cap, that increases the expenses for our teams, but it doesn't give them a revenue source. So it puts them at a really big competitive disadvantage just based upon geography. And those guys have really spent a lot of time talking about it and educating members. I think you will see the bill marinate this week as we have conversations. And then I think we should see movement next week.
You mentioned a few things, and we're talking with Jim Perry, a state senator from Lenoir, North Carolina, here on the Adam Gold Show. You mentioned a few elements. We have, like, there's a morality play against it. There is a nanny state type of an argument against it. And I think you raised very well basically a quality of life, an entertainment reason for it. But what I've never understood is the morality plays or the nanny state plays don't also go after why we allow people to drink.
Right.
So, because alcohol, I mean, I may be wrong here, and I'm not sitting here based, you know, armed with evidence other than I think I'm a smart guy, that alcohol has created way more problems for people than gambling on sports. So why are we letting those things pass? That, to me, has always been the major, like, disconnect in this conversation.
Well, sure. And first of all, if you consider yourself to be a smart guy, you should go into politics because, you know, we all think we're brilliant and we have an opinion on everything. But,
right.
No, you know, and you have to be careful with that argument because I will tell you there were people walking around today that would absolutely go back to prohibition, even though
right.
it didn't work. and what's always confusing to me, it's the same people who yell loudly about freedom and freedom this and freedom that. The concern, and listen, there are some sincerely held concerns, and I can appreciate that, and I respect it. But, you know, when you talk about just addiction overall, it's going to impact, what, 1-2% of the population, regardless of what the addiction is focused on. It's a disorder, right? People have mm-hmm. addiction issues. But when we start talking about societal impact, you mentioned alcohol. Well, I will tell you, nothing has broken up more homes, caused more financial devastation or more deaths, you know, breaking up families than obesity-related heart disease. But we're not banning biscuits and barbecue. You know, we're not about to do that or mandate that you exercise or maintain a certain weight. So if we just want to do it mathematically, that's the largest impact on society is obesity-related heart disease. So, you know, you can make a lot of those arguments, but at the end of the day, for me, this is about freedom. This is about limited government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as big a deal as some others do. They feel that way. My thoughts are, okay, fine. You should not gamble if you are against
right.
it. I think that's fine.
Make the choice. I have one more question, but I dare you to run on an anti-barbecue and biscuit platform. I dare you.
Now, I'm from the land of good barbecue. There's no way.
I 100% agree. All right, now, final thing, because this is a concern for, I know, a lot of people, is that the money that the state can get in terms of tax revenue and then the distribution of that money is way overstated. What are the expectations for that? And is there a state out there that is sort of the model? I know New Jersey has been, and it's about the pretty similar state population to North Carolina. New Jersey has done extremely well in terms of tax revenue. I don't know about the distribution of it, but I know in terms of getting tax revenue out of this. So what are the expectations for that, and is there a state model?
So what I would say to that is people make those comments having no idea how the tax rate will end up or how it will be structured. We already know that there are some folks who would file a lawsuit just to jam this issue up if it passed. There is no case law. There's no precedent anywhere that says we can't have a privilege tax on sports betting, but someone would file a lawsuit. So very possible this could end up as an excise tax structured just as many are up and down the East Coast. There's absolute clarity on an excise tax. Based on the most recent projections that I have, depending upon where we'd sit the tax rate, I'd say that, you know, to the state is probably $45 to $50 million. It's not a ton of money,
right?
Just on the taxes. But what it opens up, and what people don't appreciate, is the competitive forces for those teams that are here and have a huge economic impact. For sales tax in the area, you can now monetize locations that empty, you know, during the mm-hmm. week, nothing going on, or on weekends when there's no athletic events. It's pretty short-sighted to just think about that direct tax benefit. It's about the economic activity, the quality of life, and just the fact of not criminalizing something that the average North Carolinian enjoys. You know, why is it the right of your neighbor to tell you how to spend your money? I just don't think that's right.
Jim,
I will say this.
Sure.
Anytime you see legislation, And we get all these folks from the cheap seats and the peanut gallery saying, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. You pass the legislation that you can get the votes to pass. You don't pass perfect legislation. So, nice. You know, we hear a lot of opinions about what should be done. At the end of the day, Chairman Sain, Representative Jason Sain, is going to pass the legislation through the House that he feels he can get the votes for. It's not a perfect process, but that is how it works.
Jim Perry, state senator from Lenoir, a lover of fine barbecue and biscuits, because that's your platform. You don't need to say
right.
anything else. Thank you very much for your time. We'll check in again if we need to, and if you're willing.
All right, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
This week at Macy's, discover great deals on spring updates for you and your home. Refresh your look with Michael Kors handbags, shoes, and more, $250 and under. Get 50 to 70% off suits, blazers, and pants for him. And shop select great value small appliances, $99.95 and under. Plus, get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in-store today at Macy's. Details at macys.com/pickup. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Philosophical question, Dennis. Before we start getting into the Blue Devils ACC championship, does the NCAA tournament begin tomorrow or does it begin Thursday?
I say it begins tomorrow. Games are being played in the NCAA tournament tomorrow, right?
Games are being played.
Okay.
Yet there's no excitement for tomorrow. So
sure,
does
that's
it
fine.
Really begin? So I understand what you're saying, and technically, yes. It begins tomorrow.
I will say, though, it really, truly tips off Thursday.
Yes.
Thursday noon. That's when it really gets going.
Now, we are going to have, in the near future, a 90-team NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
We're going to have that.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of games in Dayton.
Yeah, they won't all be in Dayton.
They
My guess is that Dayton will know. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. But I think the better way to do it would be to simply have these Tuesday and Wednesday games at the sites that these teams would be advancing to.
Mm-hmm.
That would make the most sense rather than, because we're not going to have just four games over two nights. If we go to a 90-team field, we're going to have like 16 games or whatever the number is. To get to a 90-team tournament. We're going to have so many more games, you can't do that all in Dayton. There's just no way to do it.
Oh, I know, but I just love the fact that it starts in Dayton.
It would be, well, Dayton's wanted it. I mean, yeah. Dayton's been, it's been great. Year in and year out, you know you're going to have two doubleheaders.
Yeah.
It's sold out all the time.
That town
they
shows up
it.
For
oh,
it.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's a lot of places that would. Like, you can go to old school NCAA tournament hotbeds. You can go to Ogden, Utah. You could go to Boise. They used to have first and second rounds in Missoula, Montana.
Yeah, they did.
I'm not even joking.
They did.
Right? Far off, you know, corners of the world. So it would be great if they wanted to do something like that on a permanent basis. But with as many games we're going to have, they're going to make it easy on themselves. And you're just going to go to, all right, these games are feeding this region, so that's where we're going to go. And that, whatever. But even though technically it starts tomorrow, with two games tomorrow and two games on Wednesday, the tournament itself, the excitement of it, starts on Thursday at noon. Straight up, Thursday at noon. That's when the excitement really hits. By the way, no surprise, Duke plays on CBS Thursday evening, 7:10. So, early primetime game. Not quite primetime, but early primetime game. Duke in the first window Thursday night. And that'll get us to the Blue Devils. Because, look, I know they won the ACC championship. And what they did was a trip. The development of this team over the last month and a half of the season was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
100% fantastic. And full marks to the coaching staff and to the players for sticking with it. I don't know how many people recognize just how fragile that team dynamic is when you've got a bunch of highly recruited, highly touted players who have all been the guys on their team, with the one exception, I guess, being Mark Mitchell, who played with Grady Dick from Kansas.
Yeah.
They were high school teammates, right? Mm-hmm. So Grady Dick was the guy, because that guy is just an absolute killer.
Yeah.
He's an awesome, awesome player. I love watching him play. Mitchell is a very good player, but it was clear he wasn't the guy on that team. If he was, I'd be surprised. Anyway, my overarching point is that you've got a whole bunch of highly recruited players all coming to Duke, all thinking that they're going to be the next greatest thing. And boy, their development was certainly not a straight line up. They had some bottoming out to do. And they got through it. And I think absolute full credit to the players for sticking to it, for the coaching staff, I'm not really all that smart about these matters. I'm sure they adjusted their mindset, their expectations, and their approach to how this season was going to go. But they won the ACC tournament, and I'm told that it was the greatest feat ever done in mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Mere mortals would have just absolutely crumbled at the notion that you might have to play number 5 in the ACC, then number 1, then number 2. How do you do that?
I don't know.
That's the way it was phrased to me. And the other people made it seem like Duke essentially won a lower-tier YMCA second-grade league, because the ACC was so bad that it's not an accomplishment to win it. Of course, the truth is somewhere in the middle. It wasn't a gauntlet, but it also was not meaningless. And the truth is, the reason why I think in large part people viewed the ACC being down was because Duke wasn't up.
Now is the time to shop and save on Amana appliances at Lowe's. Get deals on select appliances, plus free delivery on items $396 and up. And you can bring home the Amana appliance suite, featuring a refrigerator with adjustable shelving and reversible doors to fit any space, for under $2,000. Head to your local Lowe's store or visit us online at Lowe's.com to save big on Amana appliances today. Only at Lowe's. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for details. Valid through 3/19.
This week at Macy's, discover great deals on spring updates for you and your home. Refresh your look with Michael Kors handbags, shoes, and more, $250 and under. Get 50 to 70% off suits, blazers, and pants for him. And shop select great value small appliances, $99.95 and under. Plus, get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in-store today at Macy's. Details at macys.com/pickup. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
See, that's the way it works in college. If you have a football conference and your football brands are not good, like if Alabama football 1 year, rather if SEC football 1 year is led by Kentucky and Missouri and South Carolina, and Alabama, LSU, and Georgia are, you know, 8-4,
mm-hmm.
People go, what's wrong with the SEC? We can't look at it the other way. Wake Forest won the ACC way back in the day. And I'm not saying it was a vintage ACC, but because Wake Forest won, it was reason to slam the league. When maybe Wake Forest is just good. We don't have to get into the literal parts of that argument. But you understand what I'm getting at. The ACC wasn't a vintage league in large part because the two biggest brands, Duke and North Carolina, were not vintage versions of themselves. As it turned out, Duke ended up being pretty doggone good. Had to change the way they played, to change the way they played offense, had to change the way they played defense. And I give them 100% credit for getting all that done. Does that mean that they're going to be huge successes in the NCAA tournament? I wish it translated. I wish we knew it would translate. But what we know is that it doesn't. Doesn't mean it won't work, but it doesn't. I think Duke was probably seeded appropriately at number 5.
Yeah.
If they don't win the ACC tournament, they are probably a 6. But there isn't that big a difference between being a 5 and being a 6. You're playing somebody who can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
This just in, Oral Roberts can beat Duke. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying they can.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be a monumental upset. Duke is a 6-point favorite over Oral Roberts. That's it. It's not a lot, right?
No.
If Duke and Oral Roberts were scheduled to play in November at Cameron Indoor Stadium, I'll bet you that spread is 15.
Probably.
Right? That's a losable game for Duke. I think they're seeded appropriately. Jay Billis from ESPN thinks differently.
I thought the 3 line was appropriate for Duke. One, not just because of how they're playing, but the fact that when they have a full complement of players, they're 17-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks really well. Like, if you can take injuries into account, you have to account because the teams they're going against are the ones that are getting jobbed there. Mm-hmm. You know, Duke's not getting jobbed. It's the ones that have to play a better team than they're seeded. But they got a good draw, I believe, because Tennessee without Zakai Ziegler is not the same Tennessee team that warranted that seeding.
All of that is true. Injuries, momentum, matchups all play a role in the NCAA tournament. Here's John Shire, the head coach, on what it means to win the ACCs.
It's pretty surreal. You know, for me, it was emotional after we won. And like you mentioned, we were up on stage and I was just looking around and see all the Duke fans. They stuck with us. You know, we've had to grow up this year. It hasn't been smooth sailing. Most seasons aren't, but especially this year with such a young team, I'm just proud of the perseverance, the way they've stuck with it and stayed together. It's not easy to do, and they've done a great job. And to see them be rewarded with a championship is special.
First of all, I know that this was not processed in this manner by, I shouldn't say by Duke fans. Who knows how it was processed? Last year, Hubert Davis, year one, we realized that they went through some struggles during the course of the season. But his patience, their perseverance, Brady Manick's emergence, and all of a sudden they win at Cameron, spoil Coach K's senior night, go on, get to the Final Four, get a breath away from winning the championship, and beat Duke twice in the two most important games Duke was going to play. The single two most important games Duke was going to play that year, the home finale for Kay and the game in the Final Four. And they won both of those games. Hubert Davis was hailed like, you go follow that, John Shire. So it didn't look like it was going to end up the way it ends up during the course of the season for Duke. And I don't know that anybody really talked about the following the act of first-year Hubert Davis. Here's John Shire in year one. That's a tough act to follow, all of that. And I don't know that he has gotten to the level of where Hubert Davis took Carolina a year ago. But that's a significant accomplishment. Davis engineering a win at Cameron on Coach K's senior night is in and of itself a significant victory. Then Davis taking that team to the Final Four and a few baskets away from the national championship, that is a significant accomplishment. Well, John Shire just directed Duke to a significant accomplishment, which is significant. It grows in significance or pales in significance based on your perspective of what a down ACC team, ACC season means, or what value you give to playing numbers 5, 1, and 2 in ACC seeds at the ACC tournament. I don't know. I think Duke had a great year, and whether they won the ACC or not, that was a pretty good start to the John Shire era. And let's see, A, how they do in this tournament. And honestly, anything would surprise me. Anything would not surprise me, rather. I want to say that properly. Duke could lose to Oral Roberts. They could get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I won't be shocked by any of it. Any of it. The Blue Devils are, as every other team in this field, vulnerable to the matchup. Can Oral Roberts beat them? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oral Roberts can. Will they? I don't know. Probably not. Probably not.
Should be a fun tournament, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's more unpredictable
exactly.
Now than it's ever been.
Exactly.
I don't know that the basketball is going to be great, but I anticipate that we will see a lot of silly things happen.
This week at Macy's, discover great deals on spring updates for you and your home. Refresh your look with Michael Kors handbags, shoes, and more, $250 and under. Get 50 to 70% off suits, blazers, and pants for him. And shop select great value small appliances, $99.95 and under. Plus, get contact-free curbside pickup or pickup in-store today at Macy's. Details at Macy's.com/pickup. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.